Hello and happy Monday. Welcome to Up to Date from WVIA News. I'm Sarah Cinto, here to get you up to date at your own pace with the interesting and important local stories you should know. Today, find out why campground reservations at state parks are up by 30% this year, get some fresh reading recommendations, and take a look inside the Toby Hanna Army Depot. It's Monday, April 14th, a brand new week. Let's get into it. First, some developing state news today. A Pennsylvania man is in custody and charged with setting fire to the governor's mansion early on Sunday morning while the governor and his family were sleeping upstairs. As Jordan Wilkie reports for WVIA, the governor is safe and says he is undeterred.
Authorities say the suspect, Cody Ballmer, jumped the 8-foot-tall wrought iron fence, evaded security, broke into the south wing of the mansion and used homemade incendiary devices to start the fire around 2 a.m. Sunday before fleeing. Ballmer was arrested Sunday afternoon in the Harrisburg area. The fire burned the dining area where Governor Josh Shapiro and his family had hosted Seder for the first night of Passover the night before. Shapiro condemned the arson attack in remarks on Sunday.
This type of violence is not okay. This kind of violence is becoming far too common in our society.
Ballmer faces charges of attempted homicide, terrorism, aggravated arson, and aggravated assault against an enumerated person. I'm Jordan Wilkie in Harrisburg.
According to court documents that came out today, Ballmer used gasoline-filled Heineken beer bottles and planned to beat Governor Josh Shapiro with a hammer. We're keeping this story updated at WVIA.org. Moving on to some other state news now. Pennsylvania's state parks and forests are still open and still awesome. That's the new campaign slogan from the Department of Conservation and Natural Resources. The agency says there's been a 30% increase in camping reservations across the state's public lands. WVIA's Kat Bolas found out why.
DCNR is successfully attracting people to stay the night in the Keystone State.
It's an awareness and an acknowledgement campaign to call attention to the fact that we have a ton of great opportunities for overnight experiences on our public lands in Pennsylvania.
That's John Hallis. He's director of the Bureau of State Parks. Hallis did not attribute the increase to some campground closures on federal land. Hallis believes that the various overnight accommodations in the state parks and forests are what's driving the reservations, plus the state's investment in outdoor recreation.
Not everyone needs to have a Class A motorhome, RV, or even a tent to come and enjoy a Pennsylvania State Park campground.
And the reservations help the state's overall economy. In Pittston, I'm Kat Bolas, WVIA News.
Well, if you are planning a camping trip for this summer, you might need some reading material. Lucky for you, I've got some fresh recommendations in this week's bookmarks. Any lifelong reader has that one book from their teenage or young adult years that has never left them. Young adult stories help us understand growing up and expose us to new perspectives as we do. Young adult authors are still writing compelling and important stories for younger readers across genres, and plenty of adults are reaching for these tales as well. For this week, here are some stories that stick with you, no matter how old you are or when you first read them.
Hi, I'm Adam Thollenfeld, and I recommend Simon versus the Homo Sapiens Agenda. It's a book that came out when I was already graduated from college, but it tells the story about Simon, who is a closeted gay student in high school, and how even with all the love and support from friends and family, he goes through such a difficult time coming out to everyone. And I experienced that as well, growing up gay in my hometown. And even though I also had love and support, it's still a struggle. And it's a great story for pretty much anyone. Doesn't really matter if you're gay, if you're straight, if you're a parent, or if you're a child. It tells a great story.
Hello, I'm Laura Keller. I'm the library director at the Plymouth Public Library at the corner of West Main Street and Gaylord Avenue in Plymouth. The book I'm recommending today for the young adult genre is called Saving Francesca, It was written by Melina Marchetta and published in the early 2000s. It's my favorite book on earth. I read it when I was in eighth grade and have read it since read it so many times over the last 20 plus years. The book is about the title character, Francesca Spinelli, her brother Luca, and her parents, Mia and Robert. The book really, really delves into male-female relationships, family dynamics, friend group dynamics. I have related to it so many different times in so many different ways. Over the last two plus decades. In the book, we really see how Francesca and her family are affected when her mother is stricken with acute depression. I think it would be really good for moms who find themselves doing it all, so to speak. I also highly recommend it for teenagers who maybe tend to hesitate to talk to anyone who has different interests or different personalities than they do, because in the book, Francesca forms an unlikely alliance with two girls who are quite different from her. So I think it's really important to show that openness towards connecting with different people.
Hi everyone, Sarah Cinto here with my recommendation for this week. I once called The Giver by Lois Lowry my favorite book of all time, and I think that still holds true. I've reread this so many times, but even if I haven't picked it up in years, there are certain images and passages of this story that will never leave my mind. The Giver is a dystopian tale of a society that has erased any difference between the people. They can't see colors, their roles in society are assigned to them by elders, and only one person is able to remember the events of history before the sameness. That is, until the elders name 12-year-old Jonas the next receiver of memory. He starts to learn from The Giver, who passes all of society's memory onto him. It's a beautifully told, impactful story that reminds us to hold on to our history and learn from the memory of our society. That's all for this week's bookmarks. Catch the next episode on April 26th. We'll be talking about your favorite audiobooks. Want to tell everyone about a book you loved? Email me at sarahcinto@wvia.org with bookmarks in the subject line. More up to date after this break.
We report to you. Subscribe to the WVIA News Notes e-newsletter for the latest from the news team. Visit wvia.org/news and click on the subscribe button to receive the newsletter every Tuesday and Friday morning.
Welcome back. Now it's time for News Voices, which you've normally been hearing Fridays during Morning Edition on WVIA Radio. In this week's edition, WVIA's Roger Dupuy caught up with Kat Bolus about her tour of the Toby Hanna Army Depot. Here's more.
You're listening to Morning Edition here on WVIA Radio. I'm Roger Dupuy, and this is News Voices. And today I am here with WVIA News reporter Kat Bolus, who recently toured the Toby Hanna Army Depot in Monroe County. Hello, Kat.
Hi, Roger.
Hi. Glad to have you here. And you are a Scranton native, and had you ever been inside the depot before?
That was my first time inside the Army Depot. I knew about it. I know people who work there, but I had never actually been on the grounds.
And what did you think?
I was kind of just surprised by, like, the sheer size of it. I think when you grow up, you know that they repair things there, but you don't really know what they repair there. So that was kind of, you know, an interesting look into to the work that actually goes on there, or as they call it, their missions.
Right. And I'm going to come back to that mission in a little bit, but the reason you were out there is because they really wanted to talk to you about government efficiency. And one of the things I know that the folks at the depot wanted to communicate to you is that they operate very much like a business.
One of the things that Danielle Weinschenk, she's the public relations coordinator for the depot, said to me was they have to be efficient. They have to attract customers. And they attract customers by, you know, keeping their prices low, by being able to be a one-stop shop for multiple items. Navy missiles is a mission that they're working on. They're cleaning up the Navy missiles. They're repainting them. They're, you know, working on the electronics inside of them. They're getting them back so that they can be put back on the ships and be fully operational. You know, all the way in northeastern Pennsylvania, not near an ocean.
Right, right. And I want to come back to something you said. You referred to their customers, and their customers are really a diverse group of organizations. Right.
Yeah, so they serve basically the entire Department of Defense. It's all the branches of the United States military, but they also serve other departments within the federal government, and they also serve our allies, too. So they're working on equipment and different items for different countries and different militaries, you know, that the United States allies with across the world. And employees don't just work in Monroe County. They work across the world and across the country.
So really, you know, a lot of folks think of it as the Army Depot, but it's so much more than that.
Yeah, I mean, they work with border security. Like I said, they work with other departments within the federal government. There's certain things that they make there, but for the most part, they're focusing on repairing, you know, technology, basically, and getting it back out to the warfighter. That's a phrase they use a lot.
Okay. And, you know, one of the reasons that this story came up now is because the Department of Government Efficiency, DOGE, as it's called, is looking at how all government agencies are spending their money and how efficiently they're operating. And it sounds like the folks at Toby Hanna, including their union, were concerned about that.
So the union was worried, you know, they wouldn't be able to do their work if those probationary employees, those employees with, you know, less than a year's worth of time served, you know, were laid off. So Ned George, he's president of AFGE, the local, you know, government employees union. And he reached out to all of our federally elected officials, Senators McCormick and Fetterman, and U.S. Representative Rob Bresnahan. And Rob Bresnahan actually toured the depot the same week that I was there and kind of reassured his commitment to making sure that it's a facility that stays local, because it really does employ thousands of local people.
Mm-hmm. 1,200 acres and about 3,000 employees, if I remember from your story.
Yeah.
Part of what they call the country's organic industrial base. 23 yes. facilities across the country make up that base, including the Army Ammunition Plant in Scranton and, of course, the depot in Toby Hanna.
Yeah. So, you know, we have kind of a rich military history within this region, not just with people serving, but, you know, civilians even working to kind of support our troops and support our warfighters again.
Okay. And, Kat, I know you have been keeping in touch with federal employee unions to learn about what's happening to them and what their thoughts are as we go through this period of potential cuts.
Yes.
Okay. We'll look forward to hearing more from you.
Thanks, Roger.
Thanks, Kat.
All right. I hope you're feeling up to date and ready for the week. Find all of today's stories at WVIA.org or on your WVIA mobile app. I'm Sarah Cinto. Thanks for hanging out with me here on Up to Date. Remember, you can subscribe and listen every weekday at WVIA.org or wherever you find your favorite podcasts. And while you're updating your subscriptions, go ahead and add the WVIA News Notes newsletter too. It's totally free and brings you all the local news you need to know every Tuesday and Friday morning. Have a happy Monday. I'll catch you tomorrow here on Up to Date.